The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man. Actually, today I don't have too much of a plan. What do we want to talk about today? Let's take a look at the news. And where do we want to start? How about good old Yahoo News? They're always good for a laugh, right? Yahoo News. Let's see what we got here. Number one, Britain's Prince Andrew denies witnessing Epstein abuse. All right, so Prince Andrew, according to this article here, is the Duke of York. So he's a member of the British royal family. He's the third child and second son of Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. At the time of his birth, he was the second in line of succession in the British throne. He is seventh in line now. And, you know, I guess as the throne gets further and further away from you, what are you going to do? Of course, you're going to want to spend your life in heathenish pleasure. And who's going to help you do that better than your old buddy Jeffrey Epstein? Well, Prince Andrew is now claiming that he doesn't know about what Epstein was doing, which was basically setting up people, apparently very wealthy people, with underage girls. And so he says that he doesn't know anything about that, although a picture did surface of him with one of these underaged ladies, girls, children. She's 17 years old at the time, and she's now suing, or was suing Epstein. I think she's still suing the family. And it came out that there was something like 2,000 or 20,000 pages of documents that were given over. And this was like the day before, 2 days before Epstein supposedly killed himself. By the way, isn't it interesting, that rhymes with Epstein, isn't it interesting that Epstein tries to kill himself, gets put on suicide watch, writes a will, gets taken off of suicide watch, and then kills himself the day after he's off of suicide watch. Kind of a coincidence there. But let's stick with Prince Andrew here. So, look, even if you didn't actually witness this, I mean, just assume that his story is true. The man was convicted. So this is from Wikipedia. In 2008, Jeffrey Epstein was convicted by a Florida state court of soliciting a prostitute and procuring an underage girl for prostitution on June 30th, 2008. He served almost 13 months in custody with work release as part of a plea deal. Federal officials had identified 36 girls, some as young as 14, whom Epstein had molested. Then he was arrested again for sex trafficking charges of minors in Florida and New York, and then he died somehow. But as the prince, as a prince, and as the Duke of York, as a member of the British royal family, son of Elizabeth, the Queen Elizabeth II, would you go, well, I probably shouldn't be hanging out with this guy? But, you know, I wasn't there. Hey, Donald Trump used to hang out with him once in a while, right? Said some nice things about him until he found out that, you know, he was doing things on the down low there, at least till he publicly found out, and then he banned him from his hotel. So, see, Trump had the right idea. You know, the guy is doing really illegal, immoral things. You cut him out of your life. You don't hang out with him. I don't know. Am I being too harsh on the prince here? Because, you know, I have a friend, and he's a really cool guy, and but he cheats on his girlfriend. So should I be like, dude, you're a bad dude. You know, just cut him out of my life. I mean, maybe I should, but the guy's really funny. So I want to hang out with him. Maybe Epstein was just like a blast to hang out with. Maybe he had a great sense of humor and I don't know. Maybe it's like you're able when you're not in the relationship. It's really easy to say, well, you know, you should do this, you should do that. Honey, he's treating you so badly, you should just leave. You know, you just find somebody else who's better for you. But when you're actually in the relationship, it's a little bit different, right? Giving the advice is easy because you know what should be happening. But when you're in the relationship, it's a lot tougher. So maybe Prince Andrew is maybe Epstein's like the only dude he could get along with, right? Maybe Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein are like two peas in a pod, except that Epstein has this propensity to pimp out underage girls. But maybe from Andrew's point of view, Epstein had everything that you would want to ever have in a friend other than the fact that he was involved in an illegal sex slave business. Now, personally, for me, that would be enough for me to stop hanging out with a dude, right? So even my friend who, like, you know, cheats on his girlfriend and stuff, I still hang out with that guy. But if he told me, hey, you know, I am, I got this private island with a bunch of underage girls there, I'd be like, man, I'm going to have to end this relationship and call the cops. We cannot be friends any longer, you and I. So that would be my reaction to it. But, you know, everyone's different. Prince Andrew has a different reaction to it. Of course, you know, probably Prince Andrew actually was involved in this. I have no proof of this other than what's publicly available. And I would never make any accusations, obviously, because, you know, I wasn't there, right? We don't know what happened. And maybe we're all wrong about, we're just assuming that because he was so close to Epstein and would visit his residence multiple times and was photographed and you know, with this underage girl and stuff. Maybe we're just assuming that Prince Andrew was also, you know, involved. We're assuming guilt by association, right? Maybe Andrew is just completely innocent. And who knows? Maybe he tried to talk Epstein out of it, right? He's like, you know, Jeffrey, I love hanging out with you and everything's cool, you know, but it looks really bad on me. And really, it's a bad reflection on yourself to be involved in underage prostitution. So if you could stop doing that, that would be great. Just think about it, Jeff. Just, you know, just consider it for my sake. And of course, as we all know, you know, you can try to talk all the sense into people you can, but until they're ready to make a change, it just doesn't happen. Man, I feel just like I'm coated in a disgust after that last story. Let's see what else we have here for the week. Man, should phones be banned from schools? No, of course not. Why should children have to concentrate on schoolwork, right? They can. Although, I mean, with a cell phone, they could probably look up any answer the teacher could possibly pose to them. So as a matter of fact, instead of giving them an education, just get them a cell phone. And then any question they have in life, they just go to the internet and get the answer. I don't see any reason for them to think for themselves or do anything at all. I mean, of course you should ban the cell phones from school, guys. Obviously. Very obviously. What are they thinking? I mean, it's just a stupid thing to ask about. I mean, should you ban something that's causing a distraction? Is that something you even have to think about or write an article about? Let's see if this gives you, and if this gives any good information. So this article was by Mike Bibernis, editor, Yahoo News 360, published today, August 24th, 2019. Why there's a debate. Smartphones are considered by many educators to be a major impediment to learning and a scourge on the classroom environment. Okay. Many argue that they are a constant distraction and a barrier to in-person communication, putting teachers in the position of having to interrupt instruction to get students back on task. Right. Okay. There's also some scientific research suggesting smartphones may fundamentally undermine a child's ability to learn or focus on one subject for an extended period of time. Others say, so that's, you know, pretty obvious to me. I don't even know if you need to do scientific research on that. And the phones have all these video games on it. I mean, in school, when I went to school, they used to have like a football game or something with these terrible like LCDs. And LCDs aren't like LEDs today, right? LCD or LCD screens and stuff. Back then, LCDs were like this one gray color. And if you held it in a certain light or even not, sometimes you could just tell where all the characters were going to be. And they were terrible. The games were terrible. But we played them because it's more fun than listening to the teacher, right? But of course, that gets banned. You ban anything that's a distraction in school to a distraction to learning. Okay, but let's hear the other side. So here's a little bit more of the article. Others say the bans are a mistake since phones are everywhere, goes the logic. Okay, let's see where this is going. Since phones are everywhere, schools would be better off teaching kids to utilize the technology as a learning tool. There's also evidence that bans are difficult, if not impossible, to enforce. Well, now, if they implement something where you're actually using the phone to learn, then of course that's a different situation. But do you think they're actually going to do that? No. I mean, I would love if they would just automate the learning, and if the teacher is only there to tell the kids what website to go to learn the information that the teacher is showing them, right? The teacher is just basically effectively a hall monitor, just walking around and just making sure that everybody is reading the correct web page. I don't think that's a bad idea, actually. In fact, you could just replace the teacher with a sign. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to go to school anymore for that, right? I mean, you could just have a national assignment for all kids everywhere in the country. And I think that the parents would rather have that be enforced than to have to go and drop their kid off and pick them back up again. It'd be a lot faster to say, look, go to this website and then later on answer the questions on this website. I don't even have to be involved. Yeah, in fact, the more I think about this, the better I like it. How about we just have like a Mr. Rogers type figure? And he just basically teaches all the kids everywhere. I mean, with the internet, you can broadcast an image to every man, woman, and child in the United States all at the same time. Just have them just say, hey, look, plunk your kid in front of a computer on these days at these times, and Mr. Wesley is going to teach all of you how to read or something, right? Maybe you can change it up a little bit. Maybe you could have like four teachers or something, right? One teaches reading, the other one teaches math, and so on, right? And you just have a couple of different personalities, and that's it. But make sure they're good. So you make sure that they know what they're talking about. Don't do the thing where you have the gym teacher teaching the social studies, right? Because, I mean, I'm sure sometimes it works out, but mostly it doesn't. And for Jim, you don't have to worry about Jim either. You just say, okay, kids, now we're just going to jump up and down for a little bit. I'm going to play some music, and you kids just jump up and down and run around for a little bit. Hey, kids, can you do this cool dance move? You know, they just copy what they see, right? So, I mean, all these kids are doing these dances from this video game Fortnite, and it's great. Because they're moving, they got the activity, right? So you can just do everything from the computer now. School is not really even necessary. What do we spend per kid in school? Like thousands of dollars per child. And then the parents have to buy the kids the school supplies and the clothes, and sometimes they have to get presents for the teachers and stuff like that. Man, just get rid of all of that stuff. It will save money in the long run. So yeah, let them keep the damn cell phones. You know, I do think it's kind of funny though that they say here, since cell phones are everywhere, goes the logic, schools would be better off teaching kids to utilize the technology as a learning tool. I the kids already know more about the cell phone than you do, all right, pops. That's not going to happen. In fact, any topic that a child is interested in, they're going to master far more quickly than you're going to be able to assemble any kind of outdated textbook to read back to them. I remember doing in school, doing computer science, maybe it was called. I don't know. But they taught us computer programming. Oh, my goodness. Look, on my own, I would read about computer programming just because I was interested in it and like programming video games and things. By the time that they got around to teaching the simplest bit of logic in school, I had almost forgotten that remedial bit of information that they were giving to me, right? It was all automatic already by that time. So I realize that education is important. Okay? I know that is true. We do not want children to be illiterate. They should be able to read and write and speak correctly because this is how, as a society, we transmit ideas. But as human beings, we're communication machines. We love communication. And now we have these tools that allow us to communicate with each other effortlessly. I just think that the school system, the way that we have it now, is a dinosaur that sucks money up out of our pocket. Now, Bernie Sanders, you know, he wants to give free college to everybody. Free college. Well, you know, that would be a terrible thing, because the first thing that they should teach in college, a competent college, is that free college doesn't work. What a mind screw that would be, huh? What did you learn in college today? I learned that college is useless and that I'm just sucking off the government teat. So I've decided to drop out and get a job. All right, let's see. Here's a story from Yahoo News through Way of the Daily Beast. This was published on August 23rd, 2019. Bill Maher dances on David Koch's grave. Quote, "I'm glad he's dead and I hope the end was painful." Well, I hope he didn't actually. Well, he did say that. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's pretty crummy. You know, these liberals, they act as if Trump is the worst thing ever because he says things very kind of straightforwardly, maybe would be the way to put it, because he's uncouth. And then you got Bill Maher saying something like, "I'm glad he's dead and I hope the end was painful." You don't know that man. You might be aware of the actions that he's taken during his life, but you don't know what he was like. You know who I really dislike is Hillary Clinton, right? I do not like Hillary Clinton one bit. I think she's a liar, a fake, a phony, a fraud, all of this. But I would never say something like that about her because I don't know what she is really like as a person. And as horrible as she seems on the outside, maybe on the inside, all these grabs for power, everything she's done is because she thinks that she can really, genuinely make the world better. Now, I don't know if that's true. In fact, I highly doubt it. I am very suspect of that case. But to wish death on somebody and then to be glad that they're dead and then, moreover, hoping that the end was painful is just the lowest flipping thing that you can do. And, you know, I think Bill Maher is funny, but that is just so crummy. And unless he said it in a comedic sense, which, I mean, because I'm just reading it, that's the only sort of out that he's got as far as I'm concerned. That's a really, you know, terrible thing to say. Of course, Bill Maher might be virtue signaling, because he got in a little bit of trouble with the far-left libs earlier this week. So BDS, which sounds like a sex thing, but actually BDS is a 13-year-old movement created by nearly 170 Palestinian civil society groups. The BDS movement wants Israel to stop occupying the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Gaza, and Golan Heights. So that's what BDS is. It stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. The Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. It's an international campaign to boycott Israel over its alleged harsh treatment of Palestinians. And this is coming from Fortune magazine, Terry Collins. So that's where I'm getting this definition from. Well, Bill Maher came out, and here's what he said about it. Let me flip over to that story. This is from The Lid. Jeff Dunitz writing this story. So here's what Bill Maher said about this movement. It's a BS purity test. BDS is a BS purity test by people who want to appear woke but actually slept through history class. It's predicated on the notion, I think, that Jews in Israel are mostly white and Palestinians are browner, so they must be innocent and correct and the Jews must be wrong. As if the occupation came right out of the blue, that this completely peaceful people found themselves occupied. Forget about the intifadas and the suicide bombings and the rockets and how many wars. Let me read Omar Brigati, is one of the co-founders of the movement. His quote, "No rational Palestinian would ever accept a Jewish state in Palestine." So that's where that comes from. This movement, someone who doesn't even want a Jewish state at all, somehow this side never gets presented in the American media. I think it's very odd. So that is a pretty long quote, but I think it clarifies, I think it makes crystal clear Bill Maher's position on the BDS movement. He hates it, and he thinks that they are a racist movement from what he's just said. Rashida Tlaib, now I'm going back to the article, Rashida Tlaib was not happy. She tweeted, maybe folks should boycott his show. And then she went on to compare criticism of the BDS movement to the controversy surrounding boycotts of South Africa's apartheid regime in the 70s and 80s. Here's her exact quote. "Maybe folks should boycott his show. I am tired of folks discrediting a form of speech that is centered on equality and freedom. This is exactly how they try to discredit and stop the boycott to stand up against the apartheid in South Africa. It didn't work then, and it won't now." The article continues, "It's kind of ironic that a woman who claims her opinion is being silenced by Israel wants to silence Bill Maher's opinion. Perhaps it's not her fault. Maybe some of her cranial circuits are stuck on the word boycott like a broken record. For those of you who are too young to know what a record is, well, look it up or ask an older person." Well, this took a turn for the ugly. The Lid, I don't know anything about this this, but I mean, I guess that was funny, but it's not exactly objective. That's if I was acting as if this website was unbiased and I was the editor, I would probably take that statement out. "It's kind of ironic that a woman who claims her opinion is being silenced by Israel wants to silence Bill Maher's opinion, but perhaps it's not her fault. Maybe some of her cranial circuits are stuck on the word boycott like a broken record." So insulting, needlessly insulting. I mean, just let the story speak for itself. And then right after that, "For those of you who are too young to know what a record is, well, look it up or ask an older person." And then insulting younger people. Well, they can look it up on their cell phones. Thank you very much. All right. And that's about all that's pertinent to that little war going on in the article there. fantastic. You know, I am proud of the fact that this show highlighted the divide between leftists and far leftists, also called, which we have been calling progressives because they call themselves progressives, on the show long before anybody else. And now that story is coming to light and has been focused on a lot more strongly, especially since the Democrat debates have started. But that is something that if you're a listener of the show that you've known for quite a while now, and it played a big part in 2016, and it's going to play a big part in 2020 also. All right, wrapping it up real quick, I just want to mention that it has been proven by a third party now that Facebook hired, that Facebook has been one-sided against conservatives. But I think that we've known this for a long time. And it's funny because Facebook recently censored a Trump campaign ad targeted toward